You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
So when this episode goes out, I am blocking your number. I am muting you from life.
Because I'll be in Kenya.
Yes, you'll be in Kenya. And hopefully it'll be really sunny and you'll be having the best time. Because we are pre-recording this, as Zoe is going to be on an aeroplane on Sunday, flying out to see her lovely mum and to have, you know, a much needed break in the sunshine.
Yeah, I hope we get there. I'm still at that phase, and I put this up on Instagram a couple of days ago, sending love out to everybody that's also feeling anxious about not getting back to loved ones or loved ones not getting to you with everything that's changing at the moment. So I'm trying not to get too excited. I haven't packed yet. We've got to get through our PCR tests, and there's a few things that could go wrong, but I'm positive that it's all going to be okay and that we're going to get there. I want to check actually if you know, if you want to, do you want me to send some photos, or do you really want
no,
to
the,
you want to no, block no, me you're gonna block no. me okay
I'm gonna block you, I'm gonna mute you. No, I'm joking, of course. Absolutely, of course. It's a little bit of escapism is what I'm gonna need. No, I'll be fine. I should be enjoying the lead up to Christmas by the 21st.
Hopefully. If Judgy James is on good form, it'll all be fine.
Let's hope he is. Yeah, let's send out.
Who's doing the cooking on Christmas Day?
It's actually, we're not cooking. We're going to be at my auntie's. So I don't have any of that to contend with. But I say that my mum and auntie, when they get together, I'm like the adult. So they just drink too much and then they forget about the cooking. And then I have to step in and sort of organise them a bit. It's like a total role reversal, but, you know, it's fine. We all total role reversal.
Georgia comes and saves the day from the incredibly dry turkey and the burnt sausages. I've got to talk to you about Luna's writing today because I'm trying not to laugh because it's not funny. Obviously, Luna is learning to... I sound like a terrible mother. She's learning to read at the moment. She's doing really, really brilliantly. Like, it's all going really well. We're practicing every evening. And after the letter that I received from school, I'm doing it every night. I'm writing in her book. And she's so sweet. She's always had these notepads by her book. And she used to just do scribbles before she knew letters.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, she's learning the letters. So she told me that she had started to write her first ever book, which I think is the sweetest thing. So she came in and she said, I knew that this was going to go down like an absolute shitstorm, because if you don't completely understand what Luna's saying, she can flip over the edge really quickly and then all hell can break loose. So she brings in her red book and she's like, Mummy, I've written my first book. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. She goes, I'd like you to read it to me. And at this point, I thought, oh God, here we go.
No.
So I opened up the page, right? And the first line was like, MVP, right? So that's the first word. So she goes, right, start us off. So I went, MVP. And I was like, MV. She goes, no, Mummy. And I was like, okay, what is that word? Well, you read the next word. The next word was ISEE. So I thought that was Isla. So I was like, Isla. It's not Isla. And it was ramping up more and more. The whole page was gobbledygook, right? I mean, bless her. And I'm not saying that she's amazing that she's done this, but I can't read it out. It doesn't make any sense. So I was, And then I started to get hysterics. So I was looking away and I was pretending that I had pepper like up my nose, because I was like, if she sees me laughing, then I'm going to kill all her dreams of being a novelist.
I randomly have pepper up my nose laying in bed.
I don't know what to do. So I was like, why don't you read it to me? So then she got the book and she was like, and I was like, and then she realised that what she'd written didn't make any sense either. She's like, oh no. So she stormed out the room. And so I found her and I was like, look, it doesn't matter. You're like trying to put words together. But it's just those ridiculously funny things that your kids do. You know, they're trying to do a good thing and you know, it's really sweet. But actually in reality, it's madness.
And it's going to end in a disaster.
Oh God.
Because when you don't understand them, that's like the worst thing, isn't it? Because you so desperately want to, and you so desperately want to like sort of encourage them to do this sort of thing and not put them off, but then you know you can't read her mind. Because
no, I can't. If I picked up the book and gone, oh, it was a beautiful sunny day, and she'd just gone along with it, we could have pretended that what she'd written was actually matching, but she didn't. Anyway, so she hates me today. Apart from that, I'm busy at home. I'm getting packed up. I'm wrapping all the presents, and I'm trying to get ahead of ourselves because we're obviously leaving early. So I feel like I might be failing as a mother, but I'm achieving things as a wife.
You are. Yes. And you can't have it all at the same time, right?
You can't have it all, exactly.
That's what we say.
Now, George, let's get into today's chat. This is actually a friend of yours. You've known her for a really long time.
Yeah. So Kelsey and I went to school. Well, we went to summer school together. So we've known each other since we were about 8. And she's was always a year younger than me, but she was always and still is such a sort of fun, bubbly, positive person. And, you know, for those of you who know her story, she's obviously going to share it with us in the podcast. I feel so proud of how she's handled everything. Mm. And she's just herself and how she would be, you know, in any part of her life. She's always been that, you know, character who's always there and happy and lively. And she's just continued, you know, when something like this gets thrown at you, it's very easy to just almost collapse, I guess, and just not want and just shut yourself off from the world. But Kelsey hasn't done that. I'm just in complete admiration of her because she's just so positive.
Yeah, we took a lot of strength away from hearing her story, actually. Mm. And she definitely doesn't look at it as a bad thing. She's like, I've got my time with him. You know, we're cracking on, we're taking every day by day. And she tells us really matter-of-factly, but also just really, like really beautifully, her story about Tom, her husband, and his diagnosis. So let's get into it. Who are we chatting to today?
Today, we are chatting to Kelsey Parker.
Well, welcome to today's podcast. You haven't actually joined your gym class because we are all
all in our gym
hoodies.
We're all the memos.
You are, of course, listening to Tuesday's episode and an absolute treat today because we're actually talking to one of George's old schoolmates. And in our little pre-chat just then, she told me that Georgie used to be a proper rebel and was hardly ever at school because she was always drinking the old white lightning on the ball field somewhere.
Not white lightning. Don't stop bad rumours.
She was by the bus stop, weren't you? The number 4 bus stop, she was at that.
There you go. I feel like we're going to get an insight into George's childhood here today, which is going to be brilliant. But also the gorgeous woman that we're chatting to today, mum to two. She's turned her Instagram into a blog. She's doing absolutely fantastically well. Married to one fifth of the wanted. It's Kelsey Parker. Welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good. How are you guys?
Georgia, tell us your setup. What's going on today?
I was going to say, can we just agree at the start of this that this is not going to be about my teenage years? Because
it will be. That's why Zoe wanted me on. We need to dish the dirt.
No, thank you. Things like that have been left in the past. Kelsey and I have known each other since we were like, 8?
Yeah,
maybe?
We used to go to Saturday school together as well. So we went to a dance Saturday school.
We did.
This is going to be excellent because I think lots of you listening might not know that Georgia actually went to jazz hands. You went to Italia Conti, didn't you?
I did. We went to stage school for 3 years of secondary school. You were there for your whole secondary school.
Yeah, weekend. I went year 7.
Yeah, I joined in year 9. So, but we knew each other since we were 8. We used to go on a Saturday and spend lots of summers together doing musicals and dancing around and behaving badly.
Was it like a band camp setup? Like, Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Like everywhere you went, you had to sing it, not say it.
I remember when my mum first said to me, oh, you're going to summer school. And I was like, oh, what's that? Like, have I actually got to do like work at summer school? She's like, no, you're just going to go and have fun for like a whole week. And it was, wasn't it, Georgia? We did just have like such a good time.
We did. But anyone who used to be on the train from like the Kent area to London in the mornings with a bunch of stage school kids, feel so sorry for you. It used to be like half seven in the morning and we'd be like singing on the platform, singing on the train, like pretending to have arguments, staging all sorts of stuff. And can you imagine like 7:30 in the morning, people on the way to work, like
it was
awful. So apologies to any of those people.
Sometimes we'd sit in assembly and be like, right, so the kids that have travelled in from Kent today, we have had complaints about you. It's like, damn,
they got us on CCTV again. Kelsey, I think probably we just ask you how you are because it's crazy time of the year. You have been through so much in the last couple of years. How are you?
I'm actually okay. Like, I am actually doing really okay. And it's really hard when people ask me that because they don't tend to believe me that I am okay. But I actually am. Obviously busy, two kids, a husband who is, you know, has got cancer. But yeah, we're actually really good as a family.
Mm. Do you want to just take us back to when you found out? So you was pregnant. What were the signs? How did it happen? You know, how did you find out?
So basically, Tom was feeling just not himself for the lead up to it. So probably this was around June time. He started feeling a bit ill and whatever, and he was moaning. And obviously, this is like COVID time. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, you'll be all right, Tom, whatever. And I think he had a seizure, but I wasn't actually there. So he messaged me and he was like, oh, I'm watching football, but I can't actually see the ball. And I just feel really weird. I think my back's gone. So I was just like, oh, it's really strange. Came home and he didn't look great, to be fair. He didn't look great. Mm. And I was like, you're okay. But obviously, where I was pregnant, because at this time, I was probably about 30 weeks pregnant. I was like, well, if you've got a sickness bug, like you can sleep downstairs and I'll sleep upstairs because I don't want to catch anything like that you've got. Because obviously you're never going to think what it is.
No.
Mm. So I think that night he might have had a seizure because when he woke up in the morning, he had a lump on his tongue. But Tom's brilliant because he went and got himself checked. He took himself to hospital and was like, there's something wrong with me. And they like checked him over. They're like, no, you're fine. So he went on his way. Wow. And then the next day he still thought he was ill. So he was like, went and did a COVID test, no COVID. And then the following day he took himself back and he was like, there's still something wrong with me. Like, I need some help. So then they went, right, let's transfer you over to another team. And we actually got a call from a doctor a couple of weeks later. And they said, they said, Tom, like, what happened this day? I remember it was a Saturday, and basically Tom's story and my story were completely different. So they said, you know what, let's book you in for an MRI. So we had an MRI 2 weeks later. We never, ever got the results of that MRI because we actually went on holiday and Tom suffered like a massive seizure when we was away. Yeah, in front of me, the kids, my whole family was there, which was actually great because they went in and sorted him out. I took Aurelia out of the room. But even when they took him in, they were like, oh, yeah, he'll be out in 4 hours. Like, it's fine. Like, just pack a pair of, I didn't even pack him any pants. They said, just pack him a charger. And that was it. He went off. We was in Norfolk, went to Norwich Hospital. And then he ended up staying in for 3 days, did CT, did MRIs. And then obviously we left with that he was in his bed, pulled a curtain around with him on his own because of COVID. No one could be with him. Yeah. And they told him he had a brain tumour.
And he was on his own
completely. They literally pulled a curtain around and was like, yeah, you've got a brain tumor. But obviously at this time I was then 35 weeks pregnant with Bodhi. Mm. So then I was actually on my way to the hospital and he rang me and he said, oh, they've said I've got a brain tumor. I said, what are you talking about? Came in, and then even still they were still saying to me that they didn't know whether it was a brain tumor or a bleed on the brain.
And is that how he told you?
Yeah, he just rang me in like a panic and rang me and said, they said I've got a brain tumour. I said, what are you talking about? So even then, and also when you're saying brain tumour, then we still didn't know the difference of brain tumours that you can actually have, the different stages of brain tumour.
And this is your soulmate. I mean, you guys have been together for...
Oh, like coming on 12 years now. Like, we met at 19. We literally, when people meet us, they go, oh my God, you're like the boy and girl version of each other. So yeah, it was such a shock. And obviously you never think that. I never thought it. I thought when he was feeling a bit, I thought depression. I thought he could have had depression, that we're going to have another baby, the pressures of, you know, financially having another baby, thinking, what work have I got to do? And yeah, never for the life of me would I ever think, oh yeah, brain tumor. You just wouldn't. Your brain just doesn't go there. I thought maybe epilepsy as well. I thought he could have had epilepsy. That's what I did think. I was like, well, you know, this could be a thing.
Yeah.
I was just going like, what's going through your mind at this point? Because obviously, you know, Tom's got his story, but for somebody that's in support mode, you know, for the love of their life, that's just been told they've got a brain tumor. But how are you? Like, what are you thinking?
I think literally it's like fight or flight, isn't it? Literally, I just went into, right, what can we do? How can we make you better? How can I support you this end? Yes, the doctors can do what they can do, but what can I do? So from day one, it was like, right, we got supplements, we looked into alternative therapies, you know, change of diet. I did everything that I could this end to support him. And obviously just be positive. I've never sat there and crumbled to Tom ever. Even the day of the diagnosis, we went up to King's and we came back and my best friend Kelsey was with me and she was like, do you want me to leave you two, like, to have some time on your own? I said, but what do you want me to do? Sit here and cry? Like, that's not going to help anyone if I just sit here and cry. Like, actually take Tom out for a walk. Like, go, let's do something. Because it doesn't, it's like, sitting around, like, obviously people deal with grief completely different, but it was, I'm not going to sit around and cry. Yeah. And like, be upset. Let's just get on with it. Let's fight whatever we've got coming.
What was the diagnosis? What was the prognosis? Obviously, you knew he had a brain tumor.
There was no prognosis because we never ever got one. I mean, Tom was sitting there like hinting, like, oh, I said, look, we don't want a prognosis, because when he was in Norfolk, a doctor rang me, and that's how we actually got the news. He rang me and he said, look, Tom's got a brain tumor. We've done the MRIs and the CT. You can take him home. Again, you have this feeling of, that they wanted me to go and pick Tom up, but in your head you're thinking, well, if I get him from hospital, is he going to be okay? Because you think brain tumor, you just think the worst. You don't know what to think. This doctor actually said to me, look, I know you're going to ask me how long's he got, how many years, blah blah blah. He said, I can't tell you, because everybody's body's different and everyone will deal with medicine and their body will deal with the brain tumor completely different. So I can't actually tell you that. From then, I thought, when he was actually, you know, given, you have glioblastoma, I never said to him, can we have a prognosis? Like, I don't want to know. Not that I'm burying my head and I'm delusional, because I'm not. It's the fact of, no one can tell you how long you have.
Yeah. And so when you know, had the diagnosis, you're 35 weeks pregnant. And so for the next 5 weeks, you're then concentrating on Tom, obviously.
Yeah.
How did you feel going into labour when, obviously, it's COVID and you've just found out your husband's got a brain tumour? How did you deal with that?
Well, I actually wanted a home birth, because I thought that at the time Tom went into treatment. So when we actually got, you know, you've got glioblastoma, it was like, yep, you'll come in on Thursday, you'll get your mask fitted and that's it. You start radio and chemo. They give you no time to think. You go into treatment like that. So for us, there was no thinking time. So I think that did help with me, because it was like, right, let's just get on with it. To be fair, I probably didn't eat or drink or do anything. Like, I was in like shock.
So I think that's functioning shock. Yeah.
So Bodhi did come 3 weeks early. He broke his own waters, because I think he was just like, I need out of this, because she's stressed. I need to get out. So they do know babies. Yeah. So I wanted this home birth. But it didn't happen, because he broke his own waters and then he just decided he wasn't going to come. I've done that, but I'm not going to come. So we actually went into hospital. But what was really nice is they knew my circumstances. Obviously, I told everyone. So we got a room and we didn't leave that room. So Tom could actually come with me from like the start. And then we just didn't leave. We just stayed there in the room, gave birth in that room. And then because obviously Tom was in treatment, I said, you can have one day off. That's it, Tom, you can have one day off treatment. And then literally the next day he went back to treatment and I came home with the baby. It's just weird. It's just so surreal now looking back at it. You think, oh, how did we get on? How did we do that? I actually felt guilty when I was in labor, because I've been supporting Tom this whole time. And you know, for that, like, my births are actually really quick, but for that like hour I couldn't be there for Tom, and I felt awful. Because obviously I was doing gas and air and whatever, and I knew that he would struggle with the situation as it was. And then, yeah, so after I had him, I remember Tom going to the toilet and the nurse being like, is he okay? And obviously Tom was in like floods of tears in the toilet. So yeah, it was just traumatic, but you know, we just got through it.
And you said there just that your bursts were quick, and then you said 1 hour. And in my head, I was thinking, lucky bitch, what, 1 hour of labour?
Yeah, no, because when I get induced, I've been induced both times, and it comes on really quick for me, but the midwives don't believe me. I'm like, I need to start pushing.
I'm the same. That's exactly what happened with me. Exactly the same. Because you don't think inductions work, do they? I think some people say that your induction can take like 12 hours to kick in. Well, mine kicked in. I think they told me to go shopping.
Yes.
So I was like, didn't even get out the doors of the hospital, and I was like, I can't go shopping. Are you joking? Go straight back again. It's really interesting how your body can take to it.
With Bodhi, they actually put me on the drip, like to induce me. And within 10 minutes, I went, whoo, that's really hit me in the face. And they were like, what? Because I'd gone to the toilet. I went, that's really hit me in the face. She went, what, the door? I was like, no, this labour, it's coming on now. Like, I'm gonna have the baby soon. And then I just had these beads of sweat coming out of my head. And I was like, laid over, I was like, Tom, it's happening. So get your head in the game. Well, wow. You're going to be a dad for the second time.
And then you just did gas and air. And then
that was it. And then he came. And even then they were saying to me, you've got 4 hours. You need an epidural because you're not going to be able to sustain this. And I said, I need to push. And then when someone else came in to check me, they said, yeah, she's ready to go. Turn her over. Let's start pushing.
Turn her over.
Yeah, no, so I was like that. I was like on all fours. I was like, this is unbearable.
Turn her over.
Yeah, I was like, get that baby out.
She's ready.
Yeah.
So you take Bodhi home.
Yeah.
Tom is in treatment. And at this point, is it radiotherapy? Do you say radiotherapy and chemo?
Yeah. So, but with Tom, it's just you take chemo in tablet form. Right. So he would go in to have radio, but take the tablet an hour before. I mean, that was the whole mind, like, you know, of it all, like getting all the treatment correct, because you could only eat a certain amount of time before you took your chemo tablet. Then you had to take your chemo tablet an hour before radio. So that was just a minefield for me. Like, honestly, I feel like I've become a doctor. And people ask me questions, like other people reach out to me and I'm like, they do know that I'm actually not a doctor. Like I went to Italia Conti. I actually probably didn't do that well in science either.
I can put my leg above my head, but I cannot take your blood, okay?
We'll be right back after this short break.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
So Tom was going through treatment and you had a toddler and a newborn at home.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, you know, you had to hold it together because you are supporting everybody?
Yes.
The weight fell on you.
Yeah, that was it. Like, Tom obviously was coming back and he was absolutely knackered, so he'd be in bed. You know, that, and the more and more you get down the radio route, the more tired you get. So come Christmas, he was just floored. Like, he couldn't actually get out of bed. But then I think the kids were good for that, because then he did get up for his kids and wanted to be downstairs, even if he's just laid on the sofa and had a blanket on him. Like, he was there for his kids. But I don't know. I just kicked into, you know, I had to get on with it. And Bodhi was really good. He was so easy. And Aurelia was a nightmare when we had her. So thank God he was a really, really good baby. And the thing is with Aurelia though is she picks up on emotions. So she knew her dad was ill. So she can read situations even from a very young age. She's been able to read the situation. So they just behaved as well. And also, I'm not going to lie, I had a massive support system. Like Kelsey, my mum, Tom's family, like everyone was around, my auntie, like everyone was just came to help me. So I was so lucky, even just making dinners for me, bringing dinners round.
Yeah.
Because people do that when you just have a baby, let alone with a sick husband too.
Yeah, exactly.
I think both Georgia and I have had this conversation sort of privately, just we are completely blown away by your strength. It's quite admirable because, I mean, my husband turns around to me sometimes and goes, can you support me? I'm feeling a bit low. And I'm like, I need you to support me, okay? Because it's all about me and I'm really weak and I need to. And then he's like, oh, I just meant like, you know, could you just be there? And I'm like, I find that really difficult. And I just think, especially when you've got a new baby, when you actually feel, you know, quite vulnerable, quite tired, you know, a bit isolated, a bit low, and then you've got to be there in such a strong way for your partner. There must have been moments.
I am a bit like you, Zoe. Before I'd be like to Tom, like even when he first said he was ill, I'm like, oh, just come on.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. And even before he had the seizure, that day I was going to my mum, like, he's driving me mad. Like, he just needs to get on with whatever he's got going on. Like, can we just get on with it? So obviously, again, I thought he had, like, depression. I was like, you know, is he scared to have a baby? And he was really sharp and snappy, but that's actually signs of a brain tumour.
But what is?
Like, he was really, like, sharp and snappy and angry, and Tom's not that as a person. So that's why his whole personality had changed a bit. I was like, what's happened to my husband?
Did that just overnight, his personality changed?
Well, over a couple of weeks, it just sort of changed. Like, he would really, like, I've got younger brothers, and them and Tom are, like, such good friends, and, like, they treat him like a brother. But Tom would be really snappy with them, and I said, like, babe, you're going to have two kids soon. Like, you can't be, like, snapping at Max, like, if he's doing something annoying. Like, you're going to be a dad of two. But obviously, he couldn't help it. He was ill.
And where was your outlet, Kelsey? Because, you know, you are sitting here saying that you had to be strong and you had to go into kind of overdrive and you just had to be there for him. But, you know, you are not made of metal. And who I guess, what were the darkest moments and who did you go to talk to them about?
Well, I'd ring my mum. I think it's more frustration as well. Like, because you can't control that person. So say, like, when Tom wasn't eating, it'd be like, can you just eat? And then I'd get upset and call my mum and be crying because I couldn't get him to eat.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really been about me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've not, and it's always just been frustration for Tom because you want them to get better. My whole focus has been to make Tom better. I've not needed an outlet. It's
you've not been thinking about yourself. You just, all your frustrations have been coming down to you wanting him to get better or do something that's
and you know what men are like when they won't do something. Like, Tom's stubborn. If he's not doing it, he's not doing it. I'm not eating. Yeah. That's it. I'm not eating.
And obviously Aurelia is still quite young, but does she have any sort of understanding of, you know, Tom's illness?
Yeah, so she knows, she obviously doesn't know he's got a brain tumour. We just say, Daddy's not well and the medicine he takes makes him better. So we say that now, like, I'll go give that to Dad, tell him he needs to get better, and then she'll go and, like, give him his tablets or whatever he's got. So she does, she knows.
And talking about it publicly, because you've obviously done some really great interviews and you've kind of been very open and honest about, you know, what's going on with Tom and what's going on with you guys as a family. What have you found has sort of come back to you as a result of talking about it? Like, have people reached out to you on social media?
It was the best thing we ever did, but it was a massive discussion within the family whether we went public or not. But I was like, Tom needs to go public for him because he needed the support from people. Tom likes to talk to people. That is him. Me and him are the same like that. So honestly, when we went public, we had every doctor from around the world calling us. Like, medically, it was the best thing to do. And then obviously you had other people that had what, like, Tom's got, and they would give advice as well. And now we're in the situation where we're helping other people too. Like, so many people come to me and say, like, what do you do? And you're like, okay. These are the stuff that we use. Like, it's helped other people as well, us going publicly. And, you know, even with cancer, not a lot of men talk about cancer.
No. And I guess as well, having the added pressure of trying to hide something like that would have been impossible.
He wouldn't have been able to hide it either, because he's obviously lost his mobility on his left side. So he had to come out publicly, because people would be like, you know, what my thing as well was that if you go publicly, you know, when you are down the local shop, you've not got to have an awkward conversation with someone because they've seen it. They're not going to come. They'll either walk across the road and not want to talk to you, because, or they're going to come and talk to you and not bring that up. So yeah. I just thought for Tom it would be the best thing. No one questions you, do they?
Have you found people finding it difficult to talk to you?
Yeah, I think people don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's really difficult. I get it. And especially with Tom, they don't know what to say. But obviously, he just wants to be treated completely normally. Like we both do. We're just normal.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you want people to say? Because yeah. I think...
Like, and obviously, they're going to come and say sorry. And it is... And I get why they're sorry. Like, you're sorry this happened, but this has happened to us. We have to deal with it. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, bad things happen to people all the time. If you'd have told me 10 years ago when I met Tom, 12 years ago when I met Tom, that at 32 he was going to get a brain tumour, you know, you'd never, ever believe it. If you told me last, you know, 2 years ago that this was going to be our life, you'd be like, really? But it is, and you just have to get on with it.
Yeah. I was listening to Adele Roberts the other day, who's on Radio 1. She does, sorry to all my heart family, but sometimes I flick on just to see what the competition's doing. And she's she obviously does early breakfast across the weekend, and she has just been diagnosed with bowel cancer. And she was saying that if she hadn't gone back to the doctor, because she knew inside her gut, she was like, you know, I felt it, I knew it, there wasn't so, you know, I thought I had the IBS, and then it was like, actually, do you know what, something's going on here. So I went back to get a second opinion, and she was like, the NHS have saved my life. You know, she's been through her treatment, she had the tumour removed, and there she was back. It was a month, I think, from her operation to being back on air again. But she was, she sent a really powerful message out to everybody, being like, if you think there is an inkling, or you've got a pain, or something's not right, or there's bleed, you need to go.
That's what I say about Tom. Like, he knew there was something wrong with him. He was knocking at the door going, there's something wrong with me. He thought it was his diet. He changed his diet around. Like, he knew that he felt funny. So, you know, if you are suffering from headaches, change of personality, if you think it is depression, like, go and get checked. Like, even kids can get this. So you need to knock at the door. I mean, I've spoken to mums that have taken their kids and said they're suffering from headaches. Well, what do you think it is? Well, could it, like the doctors say, well, what do you think? Well, can you check them for a brain tumour? Because I want to rule that one out.
And what's day-to-day life like now? So you mentioned that Tom's lost some of his mobility. How is he in himself? And, you know, how do you cope as a family, like just day-to-day?
Like, we're just completely normal. Like, Tom, we wake up, Tom sorts the kids' breakfast out. Like, he does training. Obviously, he's back in the band, so he'll go to work. Like, it is normal. It is not. We're living with cancer. That's it. He's got cancer, but we're living with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's it. We just get on with day-to-day life. His mobility is weaker, but we're working on that as well. I mean, he probably hates me because I just nag him 24/7. Like, use that other arm. Use that other arm. I wouldn't use that other arm. Or can you just try and use it?
Are they going to operate?
No, his tumour is inoperable. So
it is inoperable.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was never an option. But, you know, again, we've dealt with that. That was a big thing for him in the beginning. He just wanted it out of his head, which I completely get.
Yeah. So they're trying to shrink it. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've had positive news, haven't you?
Yeah. It's stable. So that's all you can wish for, is a stable scan.
And where are you with thinking about having another baby?
Everyone asks me this all the time because
I'm going in for it.
Well, I would like, I just, even with the age gap now, like I was just speaking to my friend who's just had a baby, newborn, and I said, this age gap is so hard now. Like, even when Tom was first diagnosed, I was dealing with Tom, then obviously the kids, like, that was easy. Like, now it's so hard to get out the door because I've got Bodie who's like climbing up the stairs, and then I've got Aurelia who's like going to get her princesses and whatever. I find it like hard now to juggle, and that they're more interactive with each other. So I will leave it a little while before having another baby because I don't know if I'll be able to cope with, I think that probably like 2 years, like a 2 year age gap.
You had two under two, didn't you? Same as me. I was going back through photographs the other day and I was like, I had two babies. I actually had two babies.
What was your age gap?
So there's 19 months between Luna and Kit. I mean, people call them the twins now. Yeah. They're exactly the same weight. He's such a little unit and he's got these like traps and this massive bum he takes after his dad. or me. I just going back through photographs, and I was like, even just, like you said, just simple tasks, even just getting them out of the bath, like one's crawling off, the other one's put like
Sudocrem all over their face. Now he's on the move. It is harder.
Yeah.
And he's really on the move. He's so active that I'm like, couldn't you just want to just sit there and like want to play with a toy, just one toy, not climb everything?
So it's going to be a little while.
Tell us about you and your career. What's happening there, and how's it like? Because you're just content creating and, you know, supermom basically.
Yeah, I'm just busy, just so busy, which I'm so thankful for. And obviously this has given us a new purpose now, because I'm busy even just talking to people. Like I'm saying, people think I'm
So I was going to say, when I think about it, so you've got your stage school.
Yeah.
You also run mother and baby groups, don't you? And then you have your sort of online presence. That's a lot.
And then I'm a mum, yeah.
And then so, you're a mum, yeah.
Yeah. I am doing a lot, but I don't know. You just get on with it, don't you, and do it. I don't know. I love it.
Think
I
wouldn't. The busyness is helping.
Yeah.
You guys. The distraction.
You know what? I've never had a day off work. Like the only, as in, I never took time off work about time. Like I just continued working because that gave me like another purpose. Like, oh, I run a dance school. Let's go and be Miss Kelsey. And also kids are beautiful because they won't ask me anything about Tom. I go there, I teach, I do whatever. The kids like hug me and whatever, but they don't say, oh, how's Tom? What's
he
doing?
That's your outlet, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's so lovely because they don't, Tom came to the gala on Saturday. They don't treat him any differently. They're like, oh, yeah. Tom's here, right? We better perform and do whatever. So it is so lovely. I think that's helped. I think having the performing arts school helped me massively. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we filmed a documentary as well. So I've just had no time to think. Like when I do interviews and stuff, people ask me questions. I'm like, I've not even thought about that. Like, that's a great question. Because I don't think you have time to think. I just get on with each day. We live each day. That's it.
So what does date night look like for you guys? Do you ever carve any time out for you? Do you like to go out to restaurants? Does he cook? Do you cook?
Well, I think COVID's been like a downer on that. Like obviously now since things have reopened, yeah, we try and have like a nice meal once a week at home. But yeah, it's having the kids, leaving them, getting childcare, isn't it? So
I know. It's all more admin.
Would you say you're trying to make the most of every day now? Like you want to make the best of every situation.
Yeah, and do lovely things and do nice things. But you want to do that anyway. There's nothing. And this is what Tom says. When he looks back actually at his life and what he's achieved and what he's done, like we have done the most amazing things, been on the most unbelievable holidays, like we have done so much now. So our now is making sure our kids have the best life.
Yeah, and you know what? You never know in life. Like, you don't know. There is a certain amount of, like, well, I don't know, sort of, not ego, but, like, we just all think we're going to live to old bones. Like, you know, we hear just, you know, oh, yeah, my great-granny was 90 and da-da-da. And we're like, just don't really know what's going to happen to any of us at any point. And that living each day as it comes, if COVID taught us anything, it was like one minute it was all okay and the next minute it wasn't. And we were all locked up in our houses and who knew when we were going to see our friends and family again. And it's kind of put everything into stark contrast of just like, we've only got today.
Yeah.
We have only got now.
And that's what I always say. Anything can happen to anyone at any time. And that's like with the whole journey we've been on. Like, this was unexpected, but we are living life and we are getting on with it.
And what about Christmas? Let's just end on a bit of positive Christmas festivities. What's going to be happening in the Parker household this Christmas?
We've not decided yet whether we'll sleep at my mum's house on Christmas Eve or not, but we always spend it at my mum's. So it's always a good time, apart from obviously last year, because one, you was only in your bubbles, weren't you? And also Tom was absolutely floored at Christmas. So he's just excited to actually have a lovely Christmas. Drinks, family, be jolly.
Be jolly.
Be positive.
Be positive. Before we wrap up, what is the best piece of advice that you've been given as a parent or that you would give to a new parent?
Oh, okay, right. There's quite a bit of advice, but...
Go for it.
I think, like, my mum's had four kids. And she just says to me, they're not an actual extension of your arm. They're their own person. You need to let them be who they want to be. You guide them through life. You don't tell them what to do. Guide them.
Love
so that's
that.
When they are being a bit naughty. That's not a reflection on you and your parenting. That's them.
That's them.
Yeah.
That's them like being that. Them. Because it is. It's so hard. You know, when you just, they go through the different stages, you're like, they're pushing. I mean, we've had the swearing stage. That you're like, just sat there and I'm running the playgroup and I'm like, yeah, that's my daughter saying them words.
Yeah, Kit dropped a packet at Chris the other day and he went, I heard him go, fucking out. And I went, did you say fucking out? And he went, yep.
That's our new word. Fucking yeah. Hell is our new word. She falls off on it and she goes,
I mean, you might as well go straight in with the big ones.
Yeah, no, and it's the oh before she goes, oh fucking hell. And it's the southern accent as well. But again, like, they're not she's not an extension of me. You know, she's finding her own way. She's exploring words. She's exploring language.
I like this, Kelsey.
She is. Yeah. I love it.
No judgment.
If you could give us your top products, the products that you absolutely live and die and swear by at home. So either products for baby or products for you.
For baby and for her, she's got like the curly hair. So it's the My Little Coco range from Rochelle Humes. Literally is a lifesaver before nursery. Bit of a brush and then her hair looks great. And we, since we've moved house, their sleeping just went up the wall, like they wouldn't sleep. And I have got something called Glow Dreaming, and it's absolutely amazing if your kids are struggling to sleep.
Ooh, what is it?
It's like, it goes in their room, so it does like aromatherapy, essential oils. It makes pink noise, not white noise. And it also has a light. So the light, you gradually move through the light. So at bedtime, it's green. And then you put it to red and it makes them sleep. And it has honestly been a life changer.
Oh, I've not heard of that. That sounds
brilliant. Glow Dreaming. And I have posted about it. And it is, because people are like, do you mean this about this product? I'm like, yes, it has actually saved my life.
Oh, brilliant. Glow Dreaming. Okay, great. And what about for you? What are your sort of...
Nothing. Look at me.
No, you look amazing.
Like, yeah, because I've had like treatments last week. Like, people are like, wow, your hair looks nice. Your eyebrows look good. Yeah, I've got into the salon and had my eyebrows done. Really? a bit of coconut oil.
Oh, you love a bit of coconut oil.
I don't even use face product.
Where'd you put it?
Over my face, my dryness. Like, I don't even use any beauty products at all. I don't use any creams, nothing. I'm the worst person.
Give it 10 years like me and you'll be like that.
You. Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty much allergic to everything. I put it on and then I come up all like crust everywhere. I'm like, nah, it's not working for me. Bit of coconut oil
is the best thing, yeah. And on that note, we will love you and leave you. Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You.
What an absolute treat to chat. And you've been amazing. And we'll see you in the new year for festive drinks.
Yes,
you still have festive drinks in the new year, right?
100%. Of course. You have drinks at any time when you have two kids.
Yes. Kelsey Parker, what a woman.
I know, seriously. They say positive Parkers, and they really are. Mm. I guess until you walk in someone's shoes, you don't know how you would handle a situation, but I don't think there are many people that could handle a situation in the same way that she has, and she does.
And with two kids to look after as well.
I know. And just so much going on, like her stage school, and she's trying to obviously do TV work to raise awareness, you know, around cancer and living with cancer. It's a lot, but she's doing it with a smile on her face. And I just hope, you know, when she said, there's one thing that kind of stayed with me when she said, I don't have any time for me. You know, it isn't about me. I just really hope that she does look after herself in all of this, actually, because right now she's sort of giving everything, two children, you know, a sick husband, trying to raise awareness, trying to keep everything going. She does need to think about herself, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
But thank you to Kelsey for coming on and sharing it with us, and thank you for your strength and positivity. It was an amazing episode to kind of, you know, here at this point in the year where you can, you know, you can be so caught up with doing all your own things, and there's so much stuff going on and so much pressure and stress to get Christmas done and sorted, but actually it kind of breaks it down that we only actually have today. And, you know, we've got to live for the moment. Yeah,
and we just need to spend time with the people who we love while we can.
Exactly. Listen, as always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and give the podcast a little follow. And please, I know you guys are really busy, but please keep sending us your photographs of where you're listening to the podcast. George's particular favourite.
I do love it. But any from the beach, maybe not. No, I'm joking. I'm not bitter. But any suggestions for guests for the new year or topics you'd like us to cover, then please just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas and we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.